Been looking forward to this conversation all morning because she's a great friend of the show. Always appreciate her baseball insight, but she's got a big, big deal happening on Sunday night. The Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals will play on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, which also is heard here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Marley Rivera will be part of the broadcast booth for that game on Sunday night. Congratulations, Marley. This is awesome news. Awesome news. You must be so excited.
I am. I really am. First of all, good morning, and I'm so sorry that it's taken me so long to rejoin your show. It's been a couple of crazy weeks, so I'm just really happy to be on with you guys. And thank you for the congratulations. Scott, as you well know, knowing me for so long, I'm very uncomfortable with making calls about myself. So how about we move on and talk a little baseball?
I just need to lock it down.
I just be like, thank you, great, have a great day. Okay, how about we talk a little
I just want to say no pressure. But yeah, we will be listening, and we expect to hear some Cubs homerism. That's all I was going to say. Just Cubs homerism, you know?
Well, we know where you stand on the Cubs. We know where you stand on the Cleveland Browns. So I'll do my best to chat with Mr. Buchambi, as you know, the new voice of the Cubs, which is, I mean, I'm beyond excited about this opportunity. A lot of you guys have heard me before know my background, and I come from nothing, right? And I come from Puerto Rico, and it's like to get this opportunity as a Puerto Rican woman that aspired, you know, to do this one day, it's really special. It took a very, very long time, but you know what? Sometimes if you stay in the path of your dreams, they may just come true.
Yes, and it's a wonderful story, and we congratulate you again.
Thank you.
As we have discussed before, I don't think there's anybody in baseball media who is more plugged in to the Latin American community and Latin American players than you. So I'm going to frame it this way. How old was Vladdy Jr. when you first met him?
He was 7. There's an actual picture that exists, which Vladdy has told me about. I've never seen it, so I don't know if this is real. But he said, Marley, there's a picture of me and him, like just him just standing next to me with his dad. So it gets a little scary, and obviously I know you're coming from the point that there was this online poll that said, please mention the one sports moment that makes you feel old. And my number one was the MLB debut of Vlad Guerrero Jr. That one really, really high. It ranks very high.
Yeah, it's always scary when you start covering the kids of...
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, let's be the next class, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard it. We know what the Blue Jays bring to the table, right? We know the Bo Bichettes and the Kevin Biggios, but I mean, there's Key Brian Hayes, there's, you know, the son of Charlie Hayes. Like, it's really that's Cameron, the son of Mike Cameron. These are names that people actually know. Like, I think that's really interesting because, for example, Aaron Boone, right? Like, not everyone knows his dad. But now we're hearing names of people who were Hall of Famers, people who were great players, and it just really makes you feel really sad. I thought that covering managers that were former players was bad. This is just, it's getting ridiculous.
And Charlie Hayes, did he not catch the pop-up that clinched the World Series Game 6 against Atlanta in 96, the first of the four that the Yankees won?
Kids don't know what you're talking about. The kids really don't know.
No, they don't. Well, they need to do deeper dives on YouTube. Do their homework just a little bit. So, I mean, on Vladdy, we've had you on in the past when things weren't going as swimmingly, and you very kindly reminded us that he's 20 years old, he's 21 years old. It takes some time. I got to tell you, Marley, I don't think that there's anything better that reinforces hard work and approach than the successful results of hard work and approach. So if I'm Vladdy, whatever I did last offseason, I'm doing again this offseason, and I'm just moving forward with it because I'll tell you, I don't know if there's a better first baseman in terms of all-around production. He's been wonderful defensively as well. I don't know if there's a better first baseman in baseball right now.
Now, let's be very fair, and you know, everyone here knows that I have a personal relationship with that family, so I have a very special connection, but I can completely remove myself from that and be very objective. I agree with you. We also have one of the weakest first baseman's class ever. So we have to be very careful with the comparison. This is one of those first baseman classes that you look at it, and from the top of your head, I'm going to ask you to mention a couple of great first basemen active in the game right now, and that is a very, very difficult answer. So that doesn't take anything away from Vlad Guerrero Jr. and what he has accomplished, but he also does not have a lot of competition in the position. And you're absolutely right. I mean, what he has done to sort of reinvent his career, not really reinvented at 20-something, right, at 22, but at this point, I think the best thing that could have happened to Vladdy is have a terrible year really, really early in your career and be humbled by it. And it's really impressive to watch.
What are your thoughts on all the news that's coming out with the spider tack and Pete Alonso talking about the juice balls? Like, is there any kind of connection between the pitchers using the stuff and it coming out now and the fact that, okay, are they deadening the balls? What are your takes so far?
Well, Ziggy, we know, I actually, when I heard Pete Alonso, I went in because I'm a complete, my middle name is Nerd. And I went inside and I started to look at all the names and everything like that. He has an argument, right? But I am going to counter argument. And it's really interesting. Now, let's be very clear. MLB and the MLBPA have a lot of issues. These players have a lot of distrust, and that's precisely where Pete Alonso's words are coming from. Like, that's exactly what's happening. It isn't, you know, we can talk about, you know, deep fakes and conspiracy theories and fake news, but in the end, this is about a rift between the union and MLB, right, going into a CBA year, into a collective bargaining agreement year. So I was looking at the classes, right, and we know that Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, Bumgarner, right, Wheeler, Ryu were all free agents when they, quote-unquote, deadened the ball, as you mentioned, right? And there were that class that had Anthony Rendon, Josh Donaldson, Nick Castellanos, among others, that were the ones that were the hitters. But if you look at the 21-22 pitchers class, I have done this for a very long time. I don't want to say the years. I have never seen a free agent class of pitchers that is that impressive. Now, they're all old school. They all have, like, just they're based on their resume. But I'm just going to mention some of the names that are going to be free agents. Scherzer, Verlander, Greinke, Kluber, Syndergaard, Kenley Jansen, Andrew Miller, Adam Ottavino, Kirby Yates. I mean, it's really, really impressive. I understand Pete Alonso's point, right? Pete Alonso is going to be a free agent alongside quite a few, you know, he's defending his own players, right? The Michael Confortos of the world and, you know, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story. This is just such an impressive class, but we have to be careful and recognize this for what it is. It is a rift between the union and Major League Baseball.
Well, Pete Alonso is also going into his first year of arbitration eligibility.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So, and what gives... When I looked at Pete Alonso's statistics, and obviously last year was a short year and he hit 53 home runs in his rookie year of 2019, he's having a very nice offensive year. He's not on pace to hit 50, but it's not like he's got sour grapes because he's been crap for 2 months. So,
and not only that, there are people doing really, really well out there, Scotty, too.
But yeah, the other angle, though, and Marley, you'd have as much or more insight on this than certainly I would, And tell me I'm wearing a tinfoil hat if you want to. But in the last CBA negotiation, I think the league was able to exploit some of the divide between the desires of the Latin American ball players. There was a lot of chat about an international draft. It felt like we were at Jose Bautista's locker every second day asking for his insight on that. The needs and desires of the Latin American players versus the North American or continental-born players, if you will. I wonder right now if part of this is some sort of attempt by the league to divide the players, hitters, positional guys versus pitchers.
I am going to tell you no. And the reason why I'm going to tell you this is very, very simple. I have spoken to a lot of players about this. Obviously, this was all before the spider tag and whatever sticky substances discussions, right? And I have never seen, and I've seen, now this is my third CBA, I have never seen the players more united. And the reason why I'm saying that, and I know what you mean, Scott, and things are going to come out, but the reason why I'm saying that is it tends to be about money, and we know that. And the players got hit so hard, precisely by what you said, in the last CBA, right? Major League Baseball took advantage of some loopholes. Not only loopholes, actually the fact that the players wanted things that were about personal benefits, such as, you know, limited press, you know, hours inside the clubhouse or more off days and having not many, so many late games on certain days. So they looked at quality of life, and they got a lot of quality of life aspects and lost on the business side. And the most important thing for the players now is get back on the business side. And the only thing they care about is making back all that money. I think that money speaks, and I think that Spider Tech ain't going to get in the middle of that.
Garrett Cole denying the use. Garrett Cole denying the use of Spider Tech.
It's the greatest non-yes yes in the history of the world, Marley.
What? Like if he would have come out and said yes, I've been doing it and everybody's been using it. How bad would that have been?
The problem is, and I'm going to be very careful here because Garrett Cole has been very he's been maligned by this, and I think in a weird way it's been unfair. And I understand why Garrett Cole stood there and didn't give a straight answer because he didn't want to do the Congress thing of lying straight up. And the one thing that Garrett Cole was doing is because he is part of the executive committee of the union, which means that whatever Garrett Cole says matters a lot more than whatever any other player says because Major League Baseball can use it against the players in the next CBA. That's precisely what happens. He is a voice of the players. So he was caught off guard, which I'm surprised by because he's an extremely smart man and very prepared for these things. He was caught off guard with this direct question, and that is not the forum. This is what he said the following day to answer those questions, and it's because of his membership in that executive committee. Now, the layperson, right, the fan, doesn't know that. Just sees him there and sees him fumble the answer to this question, and he did, and then it looks really, really bad. The reality is, and this is not my words, these are Aaron Judge's and Charlie Blackman, who actually really matter, that 90-95% of the pitchers in the league do it, right? And Garrett Cole, obviously, we assume, has been a part of that, but it is everybody. So to single out Garrett Cole is slightly unfair, and he was, you know, what Josh Donaldson told us, I was in Minneapolis, just got back last night, was that he singled out Garrett Cole because he was the first pitcher to have that diminish, right, like the rotations, diminished rotations after the suspensions. And Josh Donaldson alleges, right, that 12, 16 pitchers or so also have gone through that since then. So he just pointed that out. So I just feel like Garrett, in his non-denial, it really was an uncomfortable moment and so on. But in the bigger, in the grand scheme of things, it is unfair to point Garrett Cole as sort of a scapegoat or a patsy.